So, if you have your Bibles this morning, or your iPhone, whatever it is that you use to look at God's Word, I want to invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Most of the Christian world today is celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have any problem with that. Like has been said today, we want to celebrate that every Sunday, every day of our life. And what I pray for today is that there will be a resurrection in your heart of purpose to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that is truly going to matter when your life is over and when my life is over is what we did for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray today that there will be a resurrection, and I ask you to pray for that in your heart of that kind of purpose. And the prayer, Lord, help me not to waste my life. Let's look at this, Matthew 26. We want to read verses 1 through 13. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said unto His disciples, "Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill Him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. And when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying," I want you to think about this phrase here, "to what purpose is this waste? For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." The title of our message this morning is, "Don't Waste Your Life." Don't waste your life. When Brother Brady up here speaking about 32 years, was it, before the light of God came into your soul? 32 years living without a hope and joy in Christ. I call that pure misery. That's a dead man walking right there. But hallelujah, there was a resurrection in your soul. Life and immortality was brought to light. And now you have given a purpose to not waste your life, but to live it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the key, beloved, to lasting honor, is to honor Christ. The disciples, you know, this is kind of mean, right? I almost look at this and I'm like, man, you know, what kind of spirit, what kind of heart do you have? And it convicts me, because, you know, that's the way I act sometimes. We'll find him a little bit later when he's washing their feet, you know, discussing who's going to be the greatest, right? Here someone has come and taken the very best that they had in their possession and just broken it and poured it out as a sign of reverence and affection for Christ. And all that they can come up with is this. Man, that was a waste. Why was this wasted? You know, they said we could have taken this and done this and that with it. Instead, you just wanted to just pour this out on Jesus of Nazareth. And so the idea here is it's kind of vivid here. The idea is like you just might as well have just thrown that away. Or you ruined that. You just ruined that through what you did. Well, I think it's incumbent upon us to realize why that, first and foremost, before we go any further, and I hope this will really penetrate the heart and open the way for the rest of the message, is this fact of why that this touched the Lord Jesus Christ so much. And I hope that you can already see it without me even having to tell you. It's because what that woman did upon Christ is exactly what He was fixing to do for every one of us that are His children in this room. Do you not see who He is? That He is the alabaster box of heaven. He was heaven's best, the glory of that place. And He was given as a precious gift, and He was broken and poured out as a sacrifice for the glory of God and for the good of His people. And so the Lord Jesus, this is precious to Him, because as she had given her best to Him, He realized that He was heaven's best. And He was no doubt given for earth's worst, right? Which is what we are by nature. And so He said, no, what she has done has not been wasted, because what she did out of reverence and affection for me. And that is going to stand as a memorial to her for all time. You know, think about it. Kings and all their mighty deeds have come and gone, and they're forgotten. But what this little woman did, when she gave her very best that she had to God, it has stood as a memorial forever. We believe this to be Mary, Martha's sister, and she loved to sit at Jesus' feet, didn't she? And she had an intense passion and love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and so should we all. So I just ask you to just think about your life. And the life is precious, isn't it? You know, we've seen God resurrect a womb here this last year, right? He's made the barren woman to keep house. Hallelujah. He resurrected a womb and brought life. We think about our own life and how the moments get by so quick. We're just given, you know, 70 now. And if by strength more, you know, God be praised. But life is a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. They always say, what's the most important thing on a tombstone? And some people say, well, it's your name. Or it's the day you were born, or the day you died, or the epitaph underneath. And the philosopher says, wrong. It's the dash. It's the dash in between the days, because that represents the life that you were given, the life that you will live, that you will live. I don't know how long or short it's going to be for me or for you. That's in God's hands. But He teaches us, He says, teach us to number our days. And that doesn't mean, beloved, count up how many days you got. It means make the days count that you've been given. Don't waste your marriage. Don't waste it fussing and fighting over things that don't matter. Selfish little pity things. But love each other. Embrace one another. Enjoy the moments before they're gone.
and you don't have anybody to hold. Amen, Sister Cindy. Embrace them. Love them. Forgive one another. Love your children. Love the church of God. Make the most of every opportunity that you have to be here. Make the most of that singing voice like the brother prayed. Make the most of your health. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil day comes. Oh, I'm especially preaching to the young today. Because naturally speaking, you have your lives before you. But I'm speaking to us all too. I love Caleb and Joshua, right? They said, we're 85, I'm 85. Caleb said, but I'm ready to go in. He said at 85, give me this mountain. Send me to where the meanest, nastiest people in Canaan are, the place that said nobody says can be conquered. He said, I want that to be mine and my children's inheritance. Oh, they wholly followed the Lord. Those were men that had their alabaster box and said, Lord, it all belongs to you. It's yours. So what's yours today? What's your alabaster box? Is it a brilliant mind that God has given to you? Is it a singing voice? Is it an ability to finance and accumulate wealth? Do you have an ability to bear and raise children? You know, every one of us is given a measure of faith. Every one of us is given gifts and has been blessed by God with talents. And it's important not to waste it, because it's going to be of eternal significance, of ultimate significance. You look at the chapter before, and we read about people that wasted their oil. We read about people that wasted their talents. We found people at the end that wasted their souls. And it was of ultimate significance, what they wasted. Remember the foolish virgin said, time was up. We don't have any oil left. We used all of ours. Can we have some of yours? And the wise said, no. Lest, you know, that we don't have enough for ourselves. In the parable of the talents, you know, the man with five said, here's five more. He didn't waste his life. The man that was given three said, Lord, here's what you gave me, and here's three more back. But the one, he said, he misjudged God. He misjudged God. He said, I just hid it. He was too lazy to even go dig it back up and give it back to the Lord. He said, you know where it is. If you want it, go get it. Man, you're talking about a bold sinner there that had wasted his life to take it away from him, God said. And then you know about the sheep and the goats. And the goats thought that they had done all these things right. And God said, well, I don't recognize any of it, right? They had wasted their lives. So I just ask you to just pray today with me as we read this. Lord, help me not to have this attitude to think that anything that is done for you with my time, with my money, with my talent, with my soul, let me never look at it and say, what waste was this? Oh, but we might finally say, oh, finally, something that matters, something that's going to last, something that will be treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot decay or destroy. Yes, they looked at it and they said, man, you ruined that. You wasted that. And the people of the world, they look at the way that we live our lives and how we give our finances to the church or take us a day like Sunday when it's so pretty. And they're out on the lake. And they're out on the golf course. Not trying to judge them. I'm just saying, y'all know that's what they're doing. And if God hadn't changed our hearts, we'd be right with them. Probably doing worse. But they look at what we're doing. They look at our lives. They say, you save yourself for marriage? You know, you want to spend time with your wife and children and invest in your children? Instead of, you know, going out here and getting everything that the world has. Oh, you're all fools, they say. We're eating, drinking, and being married. We might die tomorrow. We want to We want to get all we can and we want to can all we get. They're wasting their life. They're wasting their life. Man that will lose his life for Christ's sake, he'll find it. He'll find it. So don't waste your life. So Brother Nathan, help us out. We'll ask the Word of God. I can't help you out, but I can through God's Word. So let's look at this. Let's look at 4 points here. We'll see first that when we waste our lives, we do it by not paying attention to the importance of the death of Christ. This is where we get off. Is when we don't have what Christ did as a focal point and the dynamic for everything else that streams out of our life. That's the key. Anybody that doesn't have as the dynamic and the focal point of their thinking and of their actions, your life will run to waste. You'll dig for yourself cisterns that hold no water. You see, this is the leading fact on which your soul should be fixed, that Christ Jesus died for our sins. Marvin said I was supposed to mention the word propitiation today. There it is. There it is. Jesus had just upset their apple cart of their eschatology in the chapter before. You know, they had said, Lord, look at this great temple. You know, isn't this awesome? Jesus said, you know, it's all going to be torn down. Not one stone upon another. It upset the disciples. And they began to be inquisitive at the Mount of Olives and said, Lord, when's this going to happen? And you know, what are the signs of your coming and of the end of the world? I mean, these are pretty big, important topics. And Jesus answers them as best as they could understand them in that chapter. And he lays it all out. But then it's like he comes into chapter 26. He says, but let me bring your focus back to what's important. And that is in 3 days. He said after 2 days, he said, I'm going to be betrayed and I'm going to be crucified. Oh, we have to learn, if we don't want to waste our lives, we have to learn to live in the shadow of the cross. We have to learn to ever bring to mind what Christ did, who He is, and how that, like, you know, Brother Brady said, it's the fulcrum, Christ, the Christ of men. You know, isn't it awesome that he has the final word? You know, there in the chapter before when he's pronouncing the judgment, he describes himself as the Son of Man. He describes himself as the shepherd. And then lastly he says, and the King shall say. Oh, I like that. That's the final word. How fitting that he was the first word. You know, Christ Jesus is the creator of the world. If you don't understand that, your theology is bad. He is the creator of the world. And it is He that said, He was the first word. He is the Word. Amen. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God said, the first word, let there be light. He's the first word. And then He came in the fullness of time, and the Bible says that God has spoken to us in these last days by His Son. And He said that we're supposed to hear Him. And that everything about Him is to be the dynamic and the center of our thinking, of our understanding. This is where wisdom lies, is in our understanding of who Christ is and of what He's done. And any time we depart from that in our lives run to waste. So He brings His focus back to them on the death of the cross. Beloved, this is the master truth of all Scripture. It is the leading fact on which your soul must be fixed. It is a daily reminder to you and me
that there must be a cross before there will ever be a crown. Let us echo in our hearts what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians. God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, beloved. If you don't want to waste your life, Paul said, before I realized that, I was wasting my life, Paul said. But now for me to live is Christ. And to die, he said, it's just gain. I've counted the world crucified to me and me to the world. I've counted all things but dung that I may win Christ. He said, all comes off of that. Here we read these that did this, and how often we have neglected this in our life. God, help us to have a resurrection of purpose, to live for the glory of Christ and not waste our life. Go with me to Matthew 27. Here is this event taking place that Jesus told them that was going to take event, and what they need to be focused and concentrated on, and what the alabaster box being broken was a great symbol of. And they looked at it and said it was waste. You know, have you ever seen something like that? And have you ever been like that and just had that attitude? And I mean, it might be true. I mean, what you've been looking at, it might have been, you said, man, that, what a waste. You know, we see that at public school. We see, you know, people with potential, but then just run off into drugs and licentiousness and, you know, destroy their lives. And it is. It's terrible. And so this is one of the things that in the men's conference, those of you that were there, I think it was when Brother Timothy Guest was preaching, and he was talking about how that Christ was willing to look like a failure. Y'all remember that? Those of you that were there? You know, that's my greatest fear is failing. I guess that's why I try so hard. And why I'm so disappointed when it doesn't work out. But Christ Jesus on the cross, that's exactly what he looked like. He looked like a failure. And listen, it was just like they were saying the same thing the disciples were saying about the astor, about our box. What a waste. What a wasted life, they said. But look at what he was accomplishing. Look at what he accomplished. Isn't it wonderful? Let's look at this. To just prevent this type of attitude, this is right in the middle of the crucifixion, Matthew 27, if you're with me, 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. That's the message of the world. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Life shouldn't be hard. You know, it should be easy. Oh, not so. There must be a cross before a crown, beloved. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. Lie. That's a lie if you don't know what a lie is. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. That these also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Say, Brother Nathan, why are you telling us that? Why are you pointing us to that? Is because if you're not careful, that's the same attitude that you'll begin to form in your mind and in your heart, and you'll begin to waste your life. This has to be what you pay attention to the most of anything else in your life and in this world, and just keep coming back to it. Keep coming back to it like
Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of the Lord Jesus.
Well, the second way that we waste our life, not only if we don't pay attention to the importance of the death of Christ and His propitiation, but also, secondly, if we fight against the revealed will of Christ. If we fight against the revealed will of Christ, you're going to waste your life. Now, there's some things that are the secret will of God. And those things, the Bible said, are to be with Him. But there are some things that have been revealed to us that are the revealed will of Christ that there's no denying. That are easy for us to understand. Like the way that a man should treat and love his wife. Is that clear? And the way a wife should respect and reverence her husband. Is that clear? I mean, is there any, like, you know, secret formula there that I don't know about to plug in besides those two things, love and respect? No, that's the key. That's the revealed will of Christ. And when we don't do those things, it's hard for thee to kick against the what? Against the pricks. Isn't that what he told Saul? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Does it tell children how to act toward their parents, Drew? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. And I can go on and on, and the revealed will of Christ is there. But when you go against the revealed will of Christ, you begin to waste your life. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. But then you go out and you date and you seek for a wife like Samson did among the Delilahs of this world. You will find yourself chained to two columns and blinded in the midst of your enemies. Because you went against the revealed will of Christ. Now, God might have mercy on you. He has. He does. He's merciful even in our mistakes and our strayings. Don't bank on not having to face the consequences. Don't bank on it. You ask David and his adultery. You ask Samson and his wanderings. You ask me. You ask Brother Nathan. When I haven't given my best to God, those are the greatest moments of regret in my life. And my happiest joys. The things that I rejoice in are when by His grace He blessed me to give my best and my all to Him. Like that song that we sang, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. That sweet little woman that wrote that song, Frances Havergal, she just wrote it as a poem in her devotions. Well, some of her friends found it. They sent it to people that could write music. They put it to words. And then she went to church and she heard the song sung, her poem, to music. And she said when it got to that third verse, take my riches and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. She said, I hung my head. She said, because I realized I had not come near to doing that. And she went home, and I think she found everything in her house that she didn't absolutely need. This is a true story. You can look it up. And she sold it, and she gave it to the cause of Christ, because she said the next time she heard that song, she said, I want it to be true. I want it to be true. Job, man, what a case, right? Man that had everything, lost it all, but still had everything. Hallelujah. Man that had everything, lost everything. Did you hear me? And he still had what? That's crazy math, ain't it? That's a crazy math. That's like Jim Elliot said, he is no fool to lose that which he can't keep, to gain that which he can never lose. Only crazy people understand that. Only people that can look at the cross where a man bled and died and say that's the greatest event that ever took place in human history and in my life. And I'll build my whole life around that. And the revealed will of that one that died upon that cross. I stake my life, my future, everything that I have on Him. I give it all to Him. And all to Him I owe. And I do it gladly with an evangelical, joyful obedience. As a hilarious giver. A cheerful giver. Of my soul, of my life. Of the all of my everything to He who was the alabaster box of heaven that was broken and spilled out to save a wretch like me. And you want to talk about something that you could really look at and say is a true waste in our eyes. That God would spare not His Son for me. But the resurrection, beloved, is the proof that Christ did not waste His life. The Father received it. And He crowned Him with glory and honor and gave Him a name above every name. He that was servant, He that was nailed to the cross, He that was despised and rejected of men. God the Father says, I've highly exalted Him. What He did was no waste, but it was the greatest success and the life that was lived with the most purpose of any life that will ever be lived. And the greater that God can bless us to conform ourselves to be like that, it'll be true of us as well. Job 14, Job was in the midst of his languishing, as we are many times. And he just, you know, you can start at the beginning. It's kind of depressing. So is a life that's wasted. It's a depressing thing. Job 14:10, just read this. But man dieth, and what? And wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Oh, beloved, have a life well lived. Don't come to the end of your days. You're not going to come to the end of your days and look back and say, oh, I wish I'd scored 40 points in a ball game. I wish I'd just spent a little more time at work, at the office. Could I just get a few more moments back to spend at the office? No. Job said, look, man die, he wastes away. He giveth up the ghost, and where is he? That's the ultimate question, isn't it? What about after this? There's a poem that's written. John Steinbeck based his novel Of Mice and Men that was written on the heels of the Great Depression when so many people were disillusioned, you know, with the world and with life. And the poem is about this man that's plowing his field, right? And he's plowing along and he just thinks, man, I'm doing such a great job. He's looking, his furrows are so straight. And he makes a pass and he comes back again. And he looks over to the right. And when he was plowing up, apparently it's where these mice had their home. And it was just, of course, just overturned. Everything that they had brought in there, you know how mice will do. Every little thing that they had and their little burrow and everything, it was just basically destroyed. And he said in the poem, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Young people, you got plans for your life. I know you do. You got schemes. But listen, umbrella them under the fact that Jesus died for your sins and umbrella them under the revealed will of Christ, or your life will go to waste. Here in our text, the revealed will of God was who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Christ. Were they ignorant of that? These men that plotted His death, these men that wanted to do what was wrong but wanted it to look right, did they know who Jesus was? Yes, they did. Nicodemus said, "We know you're come from God, because no man can do the miracles." They had seen the dead raised to life. They had heard the authority with which He spoke. He had felt the conviction that He had put within their own heart for their hypocrisy. And they said, "This is the heir. We will not have him to rule over us." These are men that are fighting against the revealed will of Christ. But isn't it amazing the sovereignty of God, that He even used their opposition to accomplish His will? We know that's true from the book of Acts. But He still put the blame and the shame on them for what they did. These men were willing to reign in hell rather than serve in heaven. See, it's a waste to fight against God, is I guess what I'm trying to say. Our arms are too short to box with God. And so that's why people waste their life. Is if you try to do it like Frank Sinatra, right? I did it what? I did it my way. Oh, that sounds so liberating till you look at his life. And what a waste it was. So, how then can we've looked at some ways that leads to waste. So now we finish up. We can live a life for the glory of God. This is our third point, when we're willing to give the best of our life to Christ. Like I said, this touched Christ's heart, what this woman did, because it was a representation of what he was about to endure for the glory of God. With reverence and with affection. I don't know how this woman came across this. Mary and Joseph and Martha, for what I've been studying, they were just people of modest means. This alabaster box of perfume no doubt had come at great cost to them. It was something that she treasured. No doubt maybe she was saving it for her wedding day. And she was going to, you know, use it to anoint herself with. Or maybe when she died, it would be used as the ointment, you know, that they would do on burial. But she saw something in Jesus that was more. She valued Christ more than the pleasure that she could have gained for herself. To put pleasure upon Him was greater than pleasure upon herself. Do you see that? Oh, sweet the scene must have been as Jesus sat there and He had just said what He was going to do, and He sat in this leper's house among His few faithful and fickle friends, we'll call them at this time, who still didn't get it. Who without the resurrection, without the presence of Christ, they would have just wasted their lives. They would have just gone back to what they were before. Peter he nails it on the head and he says, "I'm just going back to fishing." Right? She comes and she breaks this and she puts it on the head of the Lord tenderly.
There's another place where we read about a woman, you know, weeping on his feet with her tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head. And are we the ones, when we see great sacrifices and great love shown to Christ, that we wouldn't be one of the ones that said, well, that's just a waste. That's just a waste. I love this in Haggai. I'm going to test you now. Turn with me to Haggai chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament. At the end. I'm going to help you out a little bit. Haggai chapter 1. You see, God restored Israel from their bondage. And He sent them back. He subdued the people around them. He gave them leaders. He gave them all the materials, everything that they needed to rebuild the walls and to rebuild the temple and to restore their lives. They got over there and they got started like all of us do with, some conviction and with purpose. Then we get into it, we get distracted, and, we're back to that. A place where we're not doing good at anything. You ever been there? I said to a person one time, it was a friend of mine, I said, man, I said, I just feel like this week, I'm not doing anything good. I'm just trying to do this, trying to do that, but none of it's, good at all. And she looked at me and she said, you just described my whole life. I said, man. Pitiful. Well, God had to send them messengers to get refocused. They were starting to put themselves first again. And so I just want to encourage you here. Haggai chapter 1, beginning verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Look at this. Consider your ways. It's hard to do. We can consider other people's ways. Amen? Oh, yeah. We got the best fruit inspectors in the business till it comes to our own vineyard and our own tree. He doesn't say consider other people's ways or consider the other nation's ways or how they're doing it. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. He said, that's the primary objective and the goal. See, if you love Christ, you'll love His church. You'll put it first in your life, and your life won't be wasted. He said, but this is what happened. He said, ye looked for much, talking about for themselves. But lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. So that's kind of mean, God. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house. That is what? Read it to me. I love the Word of God, don't you? You wonder what's going wrong at home. What's going wrong at work? What's going wrong in my personal life? All your horizontal relationships are teetering because the vertical relationship hasn't been primary. But God said, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Don't do that. Don't waste your life. What kings, presidents, generals have done, they've all been forgotten. I tell you, the pathway to lasting honor is to honor Christ. The pathway to lasting honor is to honor Christ. And the way that you honor Him, you don't bring the lame, you don't bring the maimed, you don't bring the halt, you don't bring the sick, you bring the best. You give like He gave. He gave heaven's best, the alabaster box of heaven.
for earth's worst. I love this language in 1 Samuel. I'm going to turn there. You can if you want to. I'm starting to finish up. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I love this here. It's good to consider this. And whether you believe it or not, I'll tell you today it's true. If you live long enough, you'll say it's true as well. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. Oh, that's yea and amen. Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So, beloved, give the best of your life to Christ. Keep your focus upon the cross. Live in the revealed will of Christ. And then lastly, as we close, don't pursue things that will not bring glory to Christ. We must put Christ first. The things of Christ first. Be willing to be laughed at. Be willing to be ridiculed by the world. Mary didn't care what the disciples thought. That's why I love her. She looked at them, I imagine, with a smile on her face after what Jesus said. See, boys. See, this is how you treat a master. This is how you treat the master, boys. You bring your best to him. Well, you know the story in Luke, don't you? I don't even have to turn there. There's a certain son. There were two sons. Y'all remember them? You remember them, Peyton? The two boys? Older son, younger son. Right? The one of the boys said, tired of this. All my friends got their freedom. They go, they do whatever they want. They don't have to listen to nobody. They don't have to listen to Jeremy Hunt. They're doing what they want to do. Which is, Daddy said, Daddy, I want mine. And I want it now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to be patient. I'm tired of living around here under your rules, your ways. I want to do it my way. I want to live for me. I want to live for number one. I'm tired of doing things for everybody else. I want it to be about me. I want my happiness, my joys. Father said, okay, here's your stuff. I don't have to turn to it, do I? Oh, he lived it up for a while. Living like a king, right? But it wasn't long till it was all gone. All the friends were gone. All the fun was gone. All the funds were gone. All the inheritance was gone. It was all gone. It says that he wasted it. That's exactly what the word says. You go to it. Luke 15, it says he wasted it. Wasted it. And in the end, he was eaten out of the pig trough. Is that right? Have I got the story right? Or he's feeding them, and he was feeding them and thinking he would. Yeah. He was right there. He was right there.
And he remembered, man, even the servants in my father's house have it better than this. I will arise. Here's the resurrection purpose. I will arise and go to the house of my father. So if you're young this morning, you know, and maybe, you know, you have opportunity, a unique opportunity to stay in the blessed place under the shadow of the cross and the revealed will of Christ and giving your best to Christ now and to the end of your days. Hallelujah. Do it. And do it for God's glory and do it by the grace of God, not claiming any credit or praise to say, I'm just an unprofitable servant. I did what God told me to do. Blessed be His holy name. But if there are some here tonight, this morning, who say, man, Brother Nathan, I've wasted so much of it. Now is the time. Let a resurrection of purpose arise in your soul. Fill your heart and mind. Take application in your life. I will rise and go to my Father. And I'll just say, I'm going to just tell Him, Lord, I blew it. I messed up. I blew it. And he starts getting close to Daddy's house, the old place. It's such a beautiful story, isn't it? Because the Father's looking for him. God's so good. But this man don't come with an alabaster box, does he? He don't come with his oil or his talents. He just comes with a life full of regret. How great is the mercy of God. But he says, my son is home. My son is home. Bring my best robe. Put it around this boy's neck. Put a chain on him. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a celebration. For that which was lost has now been found. That which was wasted has now been resurrected and has been given honor. Because I will honor those who honor me. Oh, beloved, it's not easy. The thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil wants you to waste your life. He wants to ruin your life. He wants you to doubt God's willingness to bless and promise to honor. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Don't listen to him. The good shepherd has come that you might have life and life more abundant. So don't waste that life. Lord bless you and keep you.